Vox Populi, the voice of the people. And now, let's get right to that, on that, to the voice of the people. And, Avery, do we have our first caller?
Yes, we do. We have Miss Elise McRoberts back with us.
Oh, good. Okay, we're going to talk to some friends here for a second, guys. And, hello, Elise.
Hi,
and
Steve.
Dale. Hi, how are you? And how is Dale? Are you there, Dale?
I sure am. Hi, Big Steve.
Hi. Okay, everybody out there, these are two wonderful friends of mine, and they are cannabis crusading women. And I just had to have them on today because we were all at a fair together on Saturday night that was honoring Oaksterdam. Oaksterdam is, of course, all of you people across the country, it is what affectionately Oakland was actually called for a while, because it was the first real place you could smoke a joint legally in the country, as far as I could tell. And it was after we had medical first. And so if you had a medical card, you could do that. Now, Oaksterdam, and I'm going to have Dale tell you all about that, Sky Jones, and she is the chancellor of Oaksterdam University. And it is such a great thing, because knowledge is power, folks. And the reason that Oaksterdam is so great is because it teaches people the cannabis world. And it talks about, openly, it talks about cannabis business. And I'm going to let Dale tell you more about it, and Elise, because they are involved right close to it. I support it 100%, and I know all of you do. Okay, Dale, tell me about everything about Oaksterdam. Can people just, you know, come there from anywhere in the country and enroll?
Yes, anywhere in the world. We've had over 80,000 students from over 100 countries, 110 countries now. In any given class, we've got someone from at least two, sometimes three or four different continents. So it's truly international. And the beauty is, now you don't have to come all the way to Oakland, California. We are online and based in your living room with live courses over Zoom. So you're able to sit next to someone in Brazil or New York or California and, you know, talk to faculty, advisors, coaches, and of course your fellow students. You often wind up finding your future partners. In my case, it was my life partner, and we now have three kids together, so that happens too. You know,
it's because the symbiosis between human beings and this plant is incredible. I mean, it really affects your life when you give your passion into it. And in The Grateful Dead, I when you gave me such a beautiful award the other night, and I cherish that, and I honor it, and I did it for all of us in The Grateful Dead. We smoke joints everywhere we went, and we weren't going to let the laws stop us until they caught us, and they caught us a lot, you know. But we usually, the band would stand behind us, and we would get out of it, and we lucked out so many times. It's incredible, because that, the magic about cannabis is that the truth about it is that it's a good thing, and it's not something to be hid or be so afraid of, as so many people are. They've done all that with Reefer Madness, and I love the way both of you fight against that. It's something that makes me feel so good to know that can go on to tell the truth. The truth marches on that. And
Steve,
I'm really glad that, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted to really underline something that you just said, because I don't know, a lot of people don't realize this, but I grew up the stepdaughter of a rock star. My mom married him when I was 10, and he was also the manager of the band. And the Before My Time, Grand Funk Railroad, they still tour. We're actually going to go see him tomorrow night in Sacramento, play at the grandkids are going to see Grandpa play. But I know what it takes to get fans to the show, and you deserved the award for bringing the legacy of music to the rest of us, because there is no doubt in my mind that without you helping guide the band's members, so much of that music would not have been heard and seen. I know what it takes, the logistics, the care. You are the caretaker and most likely the least recognized. And it was, I think, just important to me, having seen from behind the scenes how hard the work you do actually was, and then what you've done since then in getting your voice out there and helping me change the world. Do you know that back in the day, you were probably the guy that let my husband and his friends at the Cannabis Action Network table at all the Grateful Dead concerts? They rode around in a van and they would put up a big sign that shouted, "Free marijuana information," in tiny little letters at the bottom. And well, put out their pamphlets of information.
It was so funny, but not funny now when I think about it, but in 1974, full legalization was on the ballot in California. And so we were all at Winterland. It was, we were doing a show there with the airplane, and we all were talking, and somebody mentioned that. They said, "Well, look at this, cannabis almost passed, almost was totally legal." Amorphia, these papers that were the first hemp papers, had got it on the ballot, got the signatures right. And then we all looked at each other and we said, "Hey, I didn't vote, did you?" "No, we didn't vote, we were so stupid." And we realized at that moment, I looked in Jerry's eyes and the other guys around the band, and we all looked at each other like, "Hey, what the fuck? We blew it. You know, we had that chance." Can you imagine if it had been full legal in California? And it was no restrictions at all. I mean, it really was a beautiful law, and it was well written, and people
the
liked
first
it.
Prop 19. I have a T-shirt from the first Prop 19. That was the proposition in the 70s, and it wasn't until the year 2010 that we were able to get it back on the ballot. Right. And exactly. We lost again in 2010 because no one showed up to vote that believed in it. We were winning in the polls the whole time,
so
but we lost
funny.
The vote. Yeah.
And I was trying to tell people to vote, but they didn't understand. They said, "Oh," they would tell me, "No, man, we want to keep it, you know, so we can make keep it illegal and this and that." I said, "You're fools. Don't you understand that people go to jail because it's illegal? I mean, weigh the two things in your head. You can still, there still be ways to make money on cannabis, you know, if it's a commodity, but you can't put that first. You can't. It has to be love and compassion. You got to believe the good that this thing has done. The people that, in our bunch, we could do anything we wanted every morning, Sky, and we could go in there and, Dale, excuse me, and we would go in there and you could do anything in the Grateful Dead. There were guys that, you know, would get up in the morning and pop a bottle of bourbon and drink the whole thing, but they weren't good in a little while. They couldn't do the work. But people that smoke pot all day were able to function. You're able to take care of the gear and safely too. It just was a great thing to have something to get high on, which everybody needs, and something safe like that. Better than a lot of other things that we were exposed to. And unfortunately, the people that didn't just stick with weed are gone now. Almost all of them. It's amazing.
Unless you're the Rolling Stones. But it is the truth of it, and we made the safest thing illegal. And you talked about at the top of the show, this is how we start our courses, is to understand the policies and the history of how we got here, and that federally it is still illegal. It still matters which badge rolls up on you, and we are still, even in legal states, taking children over cannabis. We're still imprisoning parents over cannabis, so we're definitely not done yet. We have to deschedule, and not just talking to the Congress people and senators that disagree, but also thanking the ones that support it. You know, they need to not just hear from the haters, but hear from the lovers that they're doing a good thing by standing up. And it's not just legalizing weed, it's legalizing people. It's about the people.
Well, I
freedom.
Freedom, exactly. And that's, I know both of you are into that, and I am. And freedom is the thing that cannabis represents. Now, I want you both, Elise, I'm sorry we didn't get to talk to you too much today, but I got to get to my callers now. But I want you guys to be a regular thing where we keep on top of this, okay? And we'll get back in touch and figure out how to do that and maybe do a whole show about where we talk about cannabis and legalization for people to get all the stuff clearly on the table.
We'd love to do that.
And the truth about that, the truth about it all, too, which is really...
Let's overgrow the government. You know, that's part of
overgrow,
what we all
overgrow.
I overgrow like the government. Yes. We got a great homegrow class for that.
Well, yeah,
thank you so much.
Remember, Washington and Jefferson, they grew cannabis, and they did it every year of their lives on their plantations. Of course, it came with the slaves who brought it from Africa, but they knew how important it was. And so it is part of the history of this country in a lot of ways. We'll talk about all that.
It is part of all of our history. You are right. And hopefully our future with hemp and cannabis legal again. And I look forward to helping to educate on how to do that. And I definitely look forward to another opportunity with you. And thank you, Elise, for bringing us together for the Oaksterdam anniversary and nonprofit event. Thank you.
So your website is oaksterdamuniversity.com. They can go there and find out more, right? Is that correct?
Yes, oaksterdamuniversity.com.
Okay, good. Nice talking to you guys. Have a great day, and I will talk to you both really soon. Thank you, Elise.
Thank you, and I appreciate the time and attention of your callers and listeners. Have a wonderful afternoon and an even better weekend. Thank you.